Hello, 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 and welcome into the podcast. Hope you're doing well this week. Well, good news, bad news. Bad news is we did not get the sermon recorded for last week. So if you're looking for that, I believe it's part 47, you will not find that. So I apologize for that. But if you are looking for a little recap, well, you've come to the right place. And that's the good news. We can help you out with that. So this is the Restore podcast, going over last week's sermon in a condensed form and then offering some questions for your community group discussion. And we are here in really chapter 21 all the way through chapter 22 and stopping just shy of chapter 23. It's a long passage, which means we're really not going to be able to read the whole passage. You can go back and read it if you would like. But I did want to offer a couple of thoughts about the passage and maybe just a general recap of the story. Basically, if you remember, we left off at the middle of chapter 21 where Paul was arrested and, he wasn't arrested. He was in the middle of a Jewish ceremony, a ritual cleansing for a Jewish ceremony, because he was laying down his freedom unto the law in order to serve the Jews that he was trying to win. And he put himself under the law by going through the ritual ceremony to be cleansed. And when the 7 days of cleansing were almost up, Jews from Asia, Ephesian Jews actually, from what we're told, came and began to really cause a ruckus, cause a scene. And this isn't the first ruckus or mob that we have seen that have come to disturb Paul. But we have another one here before us in our passage. And we had talked so much really about the idea of the operation of grace versus the operation of the law. Remember, this is a difference between operating for salvation. That's an operation of law, that old operating system of the law, whereby there's something out there left for you to do, and you have to go do it. That's working for salvation. That is the work of the law. And the Jews were caught up in this old operating system, and they could not process the realities of what Paul was trying to say by virtue of Jesus' cross and resurrection, that salvation had already been completed. Salvation is something that Jesus does for you and then gives the benefits to you, and you simply apprehend them by faith, by simply trusting, not by doing, but by believing in what Jesus has done. And so that's the difference between working for salvation and then working from salvation. And we, of course, see the ironic part of it is Paul was actually doing the law by loving these Jewish people, surrendering his rights for the sake of others. His works were actually working from his salvation and were good works, helpful works, as opposed to the lawful works that the Jews were trying to proclaim that Paul wanted, like they wanted Paul to do, but never actually got around to loving their neighbor, which is ironic. But we talked about this idea that when it comes to living your life by law, there's two different realms that we live lawfully. By the law, we live for salvation in two different spheres. One is the worldly sphere, and there's common natural categories here that we see, worlds of finance, worlds of your career, worlds of politics, fill in the blank. There's a gazillion different worldly categories in order to achieve what we would say is functional salvation, being justified, being set right, being okay, earning righteousness, all of those things that we would say are tied to salvation. The world offers us a gazillion different laws that we can live by in order to earn these things. Be successful, be moving up, right? Be better, be prettier, be fill in the blank, right? Be funny, fill in the blank. Be up to date, be politically correct. There's a lot. But there's also a religious category as well. So in the law, there are worldly categories of law, but then there's also religious categories of law. as well. And this is really an attempt to use God's stuff in order to achieve righteousness. Same idea, same pursuit of salvation, same pursuing for salvation, towards salvation. But except using worldly categories, we're now using religious categories. And this could be everything from attending church to being religious, to being disciplined in particular ways, to reading your Bible, praying more, taking part of Christian cultural activities, whatever those might be. We might even say that in our evangelical circles, subscribing to conservativeness might in some ways play into that kind of religiosity. But all of these are it's still the same old operating system at work, even though it latches itself onto different expressions, right? So this is working towards salvation, just using God's stuff. But we describe too how Jesus made it clear that the worldly categories of law, or the worldly the religious system that seeks to use God's stuff in order to earn salvation, that those shackles are actually heavier and tighter than normal, common, natural categories. And there's several different passages that we went to describe that. But Jesus makes no bones about it that the religious shall suffer I try to make this clear in our sermon. I wasn't really trying to make this particular theology about this idea as much as just trying to communicate. Jesus seems to articulate that there's some aspect of more seriousness or tighter bounds or tighter strictures to religion than just normal worldly laws. So where's I going with that? One of the things that we can work through, and again, you can read through the passage to talk to find out more about what Paul was saying to the Jews. But there's really a couple things I wanted us to think through. What are the worldly laws that the world would have us subscribe to? Maybe there's something in your life personally that you see the world screaming at you to be or become or do or subscribe to that gives you the sense of salvation, freedom, righteousness, cleansing. You fill in the blank. What are those natural categories that you see? But then, maybe even more specifically, what are the religious categories that you are tempted with in order to earn right standing before God or salvation? What do you need in relation to God's stuff to set you right before God? At what point are you going to feel clean before God if you fill in the blank with some sort of religious something? I know I have my own, and even pastorally, there's a lot to read and think about and keep up to date on. And I'm just telling you, like with all the blogs and Twitter followers you're supposed to follow, all the right ones, all the things you're supposed to read and imbibe in, it's easy to feel like, man, if I don't keep up with the trends of Christianity, like the pastors that everyone's reading or the books that everyone's reading or the thoughts that everyone's thinking, if I don't keep up with that stuff, that I'm worse of a pastor or that I'm not shepherding my people like Jesus would have me shepherd. And for me, I'm just telling you, that's a real struggle that I deal with. And that's something that I can kind of put on the table there and say, these are the kinds of things that I'm thinking through. I often go to bed on Sunday feeling like I should have said this or I should have done this. And all of these things are rooted at my justification. I would feel better about myself, or I can actually think of myself well if I just would have fill in the blank. So that's me. I'm questioning what are the things that you're walking through that you process as well. We then talked about kind of the idea of Christian freedom and what that looks like. How in this passage we really see that we are free from the law of the world, and we're also free from the law of religion. And we talked a lot about what we're free from, but also what we're free for. And here in this passage, we had two particular things that Paul ended up hinting at in his freedom that I think are helpful for us. I think first of all, we can see at the end of chapter 21 that we can serve our world by just being reasonable people, that in our freedom, we are just reasonable. We're not freaking out. We're well-balanced people. We're not letting things get to us. And Paul picks this up in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, "Don't be anxious about anything. Rejoice in the Lord always, and let your reasonableness be known to all men." And I love that, how it's positioned between rejoicing in the Lord and not being anxious. And I kind of think that all those are probably tied together in some way. But what are the things that maybe you're tempted to freak out about, or tempted to kind of respond or do some pendulum swinging on? And how does the gospel keep you reasonable, keep your heart in check? What are some ways that you and your freedom can live reasonably? Paul also then used his gifts to serve the world. He really gave himself away at the end of chapter 22. If you remember, Paul basically gives to this man this idea that Paul really isn't anything special. He's really nothing great to write home about, and therefore he doesn't have to try to trying to think of this clearly and trying to be concise for you. This tribune here says that he bought his citizenship, essentially. So this tribune at one point felt like he was nothing and had to become something, and therefore he bought his citizenship. Whereas Paul just says, "Man, I was a citizen by birth. God gave it to me," which you can obviously understand the sovereignty and the grace of God to give that to Paul. But also, I think what Paul's saying is Paul didn't have to go out and get anything. He didn't have to give up moral ground. He didn't have to be anything other than who God had called him to be in order to just simply be successful at what God had called him to do. And so that's a little encouragement for us, that we don't, number one, we can be reasonable. We don't have to freak out. But also, you know, we can spend time giving our gifts of grace away instead of trying to earn and claw and fight in order to get what we don't have. And I think those are just little indications of the freedom that Paul experienced in his Christianity. And so maybe what are some of the gifts that God has given you that you feel like he's calling you to give away for the sake of others? Well, I know that felt like probably a 30,000 foot view of this passage, and we really didn't get into the text a whole lot. But hopefully those are some good questions guiding you into your community group discussion. And I'll try to throw these out to you as well via social media. And I hope you have a good missional community group meeting, and we'll talk to you later.